Here's a job opening you might be interested in. Pretty good hours and pay, summers off, full health coverage, only 8 colleagues, and you get an impressive costume. The position is based in Washington, D.C. and reports to absolutely no one. Best of all, the job is yours for life. We're talking, of course, about the opening on the United States Supreme Court. Justice David Souter plans to retire. President Obama says he wants a person of intelligence, excellence, integrity, and empathy.
I will seek someone who understands that justice isn't about some abstract legal theory or footnote in a casebook. It is also about how our laws affect the daily realities of people's lives.
So who would you like to see in the job? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can join the conversation on our website, too. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. A few weeks ago, we spoke with the remarkably prescient Dahlia Lithwick. Anticipating a vacancy, she wrote about the pressure that President Obama would be under to name a woman to a court that now has just one. And now that the vacancy is a reality, we've asked her back to talk about who's likely to be on the shortlist. Dahlia Lithwick is a senior legal correspondent and senior editor at the online magazine Slate.com with us today from the studios at the University of Virginia at Charlottesville. Nice to have you back on the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
And do you think that President Obama is going to agree with your structure and pick a woman?
Certainly the scuttlebutt from inside the White House, and the scuttlebutt I think that I'm hearing pretty much everywhere, is that it's very, very likely that Obama will tap a woman this time.
And given that, who do you think is at the top of the list?
Well, I think there's a couple of people who are clearly at the top of the list. The first is Judge Sonia Sotomayor from the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit. That's the appeals court that's based out of New York. She would give him not just a woman nominee, but she would also be the first Hispanic nominee. And I'm going to say that qualifying it because there's a lot of people who think Benjamin Cardozo was the first Hispanic nominee. The other, I think, candidates that are at the top of the list of the short list are probably Judge Diane Wood for the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. Obama knew her in Chicago, and she's known as a really bright light, very, very smart, capable jurist. And Elena Kagan, who formerly the dean of Harvard Law School, who, again, reputed to be both brilliant and has just been named and confirmed as the first woman Solicitor General of the United States. So that's probably the short list.
And you used an interesting word there in talking about Elena Kagan. Confirmed. She's just gone through the confirmation process, and that's obviously going to be a little bit more rigorous if she's nominated to be the next justice of the United States Supreme Court. Nevertheless, the background checks have been done.
Right. Although I will say this looked to be, if you'd asked a couple months ago, this looked like it was going to be a cakewalk for Kagan. And she actually had a fairly rough confirmation hearing for the SG post. There was some real controversy about a position she took about the don't ask, don't tell policy in the military and a brief she signed on while she was dean of Harvard Law School, not wanting military recruiters to be able to recruit at Harvard Law School because of that policy, even though a lot of academics signed on to that brief. She took an enormous amount of heat at her confirmation for that and other things.
Yet, if that heat is coming from the right, if you will, by the time this confirmation vote comes, I think everybody anticipates there will be 60 Democrats in the United States Senate.
That's right. Obama could not really be in a better position. I think absent putting an raving lunatic up. He can get whoever he wants confirmed to this spot, probably without, I mean, there will be a lot of noise, but I don't think an enormous amount of trouble. And that raises this very interesting strategic question for him, which is, should he therefore put the sort of liberal Scalia, a left-wing bomb thrower who can really counterbalance a court that I think has become, at least intellectually and jurisprudentially, quite dominated by the right wing of the court, or should he just put someone who's moderate and confirmable and not too offensive? And that's a fight that's going on sort of inside baseball community this week.
Well, there's another factor as well. On ABC's This Week, Senator Patrick Leahy, who's the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, he'll have something to say about this, echoed that he would like to see a woman or a minority, but also that maybe not a judge.
I think we should have more women. We should have more minorities. I would like to see more people from outside the judicial monastery, somebody who's had some real life experience, not just as a judge.
And the three women you mentioned right off the top of your head, well, I'm not sure they would accept the word monastery, but nevertheless.
Certainly Elena Kagan then fits the profile because she's had no judicial experience, which is something that she's going to, again, take heat from. I think that some of the other interesting candidates who would fit Senator Leahy's qualification are people like Jennifer Granholm, who's been whose name has been bandied about a lot this week. I think, again, with this thought that it would be really nice to have a Supreme Court that isn't comprised solely of people who are either academics or judges in a prior life or as weirdly, I think representative on the current Roberts Court came up through the executive branch. So it is a very, very, very narrow bandwidth of job experiences we're seeing at the court, not just life experiences, but job experiences. And I think that's one of the things that Obama really seeks to rectify.
Our guest is Dahlia Lithwick, senior legal correspondent and senior editor at the online magazine Slate.com. We're talking about the next selection for the United States Supreme Court. Who do you think it should be? This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can go to Eli. Eli with us from Midland, Texas.
Hi, this is Eli from Midland, Texas, home of George Bush and Laura Bush.
And who do you think should be the next justice of the Supreme Court?
I think Hillary Clinton would be a wonderful choice. She has a brilliant legal mind because she is a fantastic lawyer. She's a leader, head and shoulders above all, and she's a woman.
On all three counts, Dahlia Lithwick, I think Eli has an argument. She's also Secretary of State.
Well, that's the counter argument that she has a pretty terrific job right now. I think Eli's spot on. There's an awful lot of people out there who are saying that they would like to see Hillary get this job. I think she's made her own choice about what job she wants. It's also an interesting question, and it goes back to the strategic question we were talking about how much of a mud fight you want to see at a confirmation hearing. And I suspect that Hillary's hearing to be on the U.S. Supreme Court might get quite ugly.
Thanks very much for the call, Eli. Appreciate it. Over the weekend, in another one of the talk shows, Senator Orrin Hatch, a longtime member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, indeed its former chairman, he's a Republican from Utah, voiced his fear of Obama's pick.
He wants to pick people who will take sides. He's also said that a judge has to be a person of empathy. What does that mean? Usually that's a code word for an activist judge.
Now, Dahlia Lithwick, you talked about the mud fight. Clearly, Republicans are going to be concerned. I think it was Lindsey Graham who said you have to expect that there's going to be, for example, a pro-choice judge. But nevertheless, they're going to be looking very closely at this person's qualifications.
I think that's right. I think you're seeing that the political right is really, really gearing up. Within hours of Souter's resignation on Friday, we already had a memo that came out that was published on Politico.com that suggested the talking points that were already being framed about Kagan, about Sotomayor, about Diane Wood. And, you know, I think you're quite right. Abortion is going to be a big flashpoint this time around. I think there are some other flashpoints like gay marriage, which might also become very, very, very ideologically split very quickly. And again, I think this is an issue on which the political right really needs to hang on very tightly. This is a way to talk to your base about abortion, about gay marriage, about the culture wars. And I think in a world where there's so few really winning arguments on the political right, you know, we can't make the economic arguments we used to make. We can't make some of the political arguments we used to make. Holding on to the arguments about the composition of the court and the culture wars, I think, becomes doubly important.
Let's go to Michelle. Michelle with us from Southfield, Michigan.
Hi. I would be for Jennifer Granholm. I think she has the experience as an attorney general, but then as governor, particularly in Michigan, all the things that Michigan has gone through, I could see her being empathetic on the court as well to the average man to have a different viewpoint than a regular lawyer judge.
And you would not miss her as governor?
Pardon me?
You would not miss her as your governor?
Well, yeah, but this is her last term anyhow. So, I mean, she's term limited. So, you know, I'd rather have to keep her in public life, and I think that'd be a good place for her.
Michelle, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Dahlia Lithwick, let me ask you another question, and that has to do with age. Some people would argue, you pointed out Clarence Thomas. Would President Obama want to match a Clarence Thomas in terms of ideology, but also in terms of the youth when Clarence Thomas was named to the court with the expectation, does he want somebody young because they will be on the bench for a very long time, and also they might not have such an extensive record for people to go through?
Absolutely. That's become the name of the game in the last decade or two. You know, if you try to confirm somebody who's only 17, your chances are good that they'll be on the court for the next 100 years. And that's really become an almost overriding theme. You see it a lot now as you look at this short list where you have tremendously qualified candidates like Harvard Law Professor Lawrence Tribe or David Tatel of the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, people who, of course, should be on the short list, but for the fact that bracketing the fact that they're males, and we've already talked about that, they're deemed simply too old. And even Judge Wood is deemed, arguably too old. She was only born in 1950. So you're quite right. There's this real premium that's placed on youth. I think it precludes some really important judicial experience.
When you mentioned Judge Wood, Judge Kimba Wood, who was, nominated to be Attorney General by President Clinton and withdrew because of a nanny problem.
Right. I was actually thinking of Diane Wood the Seventh Circuit. But Kimba Wood, she's even older than Diane Wood. But she's another person who has popped up on the short list. So I think your general point is quite right, that it's that people are being aged out in a way they didn't used to be 20 years ago.
All right. Pick one. Who's going to be the nominee?
I'm going to vote for good old Diane Wood. I think she's got history with Obama. She is, as I say, apparently really incredibly bright and has been able to handle that court on the Seventh Circuit.
Dahlia Lithwick, we'll hold you to that. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Dahlia Lithwick, senior legal correspondent, senior editor at the online magazine Slate.com. You can find a link to the Slate roundup of possible justices at npr.org. Tomorrow, the hype over online predators might far outweigh the real dangers. We'll talk about the myths and the facts. We hope you'll join us for that. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.